Good afternoon. Welcome to St. Andrew's Presbyterian Church and our service of witness to the resurrection of Craig Harry Miraculous. My name is Dan Melton. I'm the pastor here. And assisting in worship this afternoon is Deacon Andrea. She's somewhere here in the space. Where'd she go? Wave your hand, Andrea. There she is. And you'll be meeting her in a moment as she helps lead us through worship. On behalf of the officers and the members of St. Andrew's, we welcome all of you joining us here today at the center, and those of you that are joining us this afternoon online. I want to offer a few housekeeping notes. After the service, we'll enjoy some light refreshments in the foyer. It's also okay to bring those refreshments here in the assembly hall and spread out a little bit. You may notice also during the service, from time to time, it may get a little chilly in here. That's because we will be bringing in lots of fresh outside air through our ventilation system, occasionally cracking a door perhaps. So you may want to keep your jacket or sweater nearby if that happens. Also, the bathrooms are in the foyer that way. If you walk out those doors, it's to the left. If you walk out those doors, it's sort of straight in the corner back there of the building. We at St. Andrew's are Presbyterian. We're a Church of the Presbyterian Church USA, and we are joked about as being a tad on the stiff side. Less so here at St. Andrew's. Our music is simple and contemporary this afternoon, and moreover, since we've known Craig as a fun-loving person who loved to joke around and laugh for our service today, I'm throwing away the typical service book, which can be a little stiff and formal, and we'll do things a little bit differently. Also, I note that I learned this week that Craig really enjoyed physical humor, like funny slapstick physical humor. We'll talk about that a little bit more. I have a lot of wires around me, and occasionally you get to see some acted out live. It's not intentional, but you never know. We may have a little in store for us as I try to trip over wires and that sort of thing moving around today. Our service this afternoon is going to flow through a couple different movements. The first is we're going to enter into grief because we're sad, because we're going to miss Craig, because we didn't expect to be here. So we will be acknowledging grief. We will be inviting God's presence. We'll ask God to fill this space and our hearts and minds with God's love and God's comfort. We will celebrate life. We will honor Craig's life with grateful words and remembrances. And we will hold on to hope. We will declare our hope in the resurrection and eternal life. I'd like to invite Deacon Andrea to open us in prayer.
Before we pray, I just wanted to explain the decorated chair at the back of this section. That's where Craig always sat when he would come to church. And Michelle, back up here to my right, asked if we should reserve Craig's chair for today. So she decorated it with a Disney theme because Craig loved Disney. So you see Craig's chair there as a reminder of where he would be with us here. So let's pray. Gracious God, we come before you this afternoon as a people of mixed emotions. We are so grateful for the life of Craig Miraculous, yet we are stricken with grief at losing him so unexpectedly. We need the solidarity of the saints now, God. We need to be reminded of the biblical story that arises out of human suffering. We are in that story at this moment. Lead us through grief this afternoon into the hope of the resurrection. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please join me in a responsive reading from Romans chapter 6 by reading aloud with me in the paragraph marked All. When we were baptized in Christ Jesus, we were baptized into his death. We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live a new life. For if we have been united with Christ in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his.
Much of the praise in the scriptures is offered as praise through lament. If you read through the Psalms, if you read through Lamentations, you'll quickly realize that the biblical writers didn't want to wash over anything or skip over anything in terms of human experience and the places where existence goes and how we feel when life doesn't go the way that we want it to. So as we praise God this afternoon, we recognize that we're entering into a biblical space, a very human space of worshiping God through tears and through sadness. Yet we will praise our God.
Praise you, Lord, my God. Even with my brokenness, I will praise you, Lord. I will praise you, Lord, my God. Even in my desperation, I will praise you, Lord. I can understand all that you allow. I just can't see the reason. But my life is in your hands, and though I cannot see you, I choose to trust you. Even when my heart is torn, I will praise you, Lord, even when I feel deserted. I will praise you, Lord, even in the darkest valley. I will praise you, Lord. It seems so hope is gone, yet I will praise you, Lord. I will trust you, Lord, my God. Even in my loneliness, I will trust you, Lord. I will trust you, Lord, my God. Even when I cannot hear you, I will trust you, Lord. And I will not forget you hung on a cross. Lord, you bled and died for me. And if I have to suffer, I know that you've been there. And I know that you're here now. Even when my heart is torn, I will praise you, Lord, even when I feel deserted. I will praise you, Lord, even in the darkest valley. I will praise you, and it seems all hope is gone, yet I will praise you, Lord.
Let us share a moment of silence. Lift up to God your sadness, your regrets, and your questions in the silence of your heart. Let us hear these words from Psalm 142, verses 1 through 3. With my voice, I cry to the Lord. With my voice, I make supplication to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before him. I tell my trouble before him. When my spirit is faint, you know my way. When my spirit is faint, you know my way. Almighty God, you know our way. You know our hearts and our feelings. Meet us here in this place. We invite your presence into our hearts and minds.
The hymn, It Is Well, is based on a well-known story about a man who was not writing to say, my life is well. He was writing to say, my life is well, despite. This modern adaptation is based on that hymn. And this individual lost his business, I believe it was the Great Chicago Fire, his son, and then he lost his four daughters in a shipwreck. His wife sent him, I think it was a, I don't remember what the technology was back then, but the note was, all lost. Alone I'm saved. And he went deep into grief, he went deep into suffering, and he met a God there who embraced him, convinced him that he could continue, and that at that place in his soul where he would meet God, that he could be well, and that God would be present with him.
Quaked before, moved by the sound of his voice, and seas that are shaken and stirred can be calmed and broken from my regard. And through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, through it all, it is well. And through it all, my eyes are on you. And it is well with me. Far be it from me to not believe. Even when my eyes can see, and this mountain that's in front of me will be thrown into the midst of the sea. And through it all, my eyes are on you. And through it all, it is well. Are on you, it is well, it is well. So let go my soul and trust in him. The ways of wind still know his name. So let go my soul and trust in him. Ways of wind still know his name. So let go my soul and
waves of wind still know his name.
The waves of wind still know his name. It is well. It is well, Lord, with my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well.
Inviting some family and friends to come and share some remembrances of Craig as we celebrate his life. First, we have Kevin Laufer. This is one of Craig's closest friends.
Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate it. Everyone hear me? Okay. Let's see if I can get through this. Is that better? Okay. Craig is a friend to all of us here today. Man, well, in second line. For many, he was a great friend. For me, he was my best friend. Christine and the family asked me to speak at the service today, and I'm honored to do so. I have a lot of great memories of Craig. I want to share with you a small sampling of some of my experiences with him. I started working with Craig over 25 years ago, and we both started our first day of work at the same company called Four Systems. We were systems engineers, and there was an instant connection and bond between us when we met. Craig loved cars, not just cars, but fast cars. He had a Mustang back then, and during our first week of work, we went out to lunch, and he drove. And this thing was fast, and he loved to hit it, as he would say, and push the gas to the floor and shift through the gears. I could still see him jerking the gears like that, going through all the gears. And I remember asking him, man, what kind of engine you have in this thing? He says, oh, stock, it's a 302, but I had the cylinders bored out and stroked, so now it's a 330. That didn't mean anything to me, but it did to him. But and I remember asking him, and then he's like, yeah, that's because I have LMD. That's how I roll. I'm like, roll? Like, I was like, what the heck is LMD? So Craig replied, LMD is little man's disease. You know, it's like when you go and you're in a parking lot and you see a big souped up truck pulling the parking lot. You know, it's got the big tires on it. It's got the big exhaust pipe. And it comes out and you're expecting some big 6 foot plus guy, big grizzly guy to jump out of the truck. But instead, a small short guy jumps out. He's making up for his shortness by getting the huge truck. So if you ever saw Craig, he had this little rooster strut. When
he'd be like this. Whenever he would do something macho, he would pull out the rooster strut. And we used to always kid him that he was doing that.
And yeah, so Craig would always upsize things and call out LMD when for his reasoning. So why get a truck with a 4.3 engine in it when you can get a 5.7? You know, why get the 24-inch snowblower when I can get the 30-inch? So Craig started hunting with me years ago, and he asked me what caliber and gun he should get. So I made a recommendation to him, but that wasn't big enough for Craig. So he had to go with the Canon model. It didn't help him any, by the way. So we went looking at lawnmowers one year, and Craig was all ready to get the 60-inch lawnmower with the 27-inch horsepower engine, perfect for what he needed. But getting ready to sign the dotted line with a sales guy, the salesman says, you know, this is available in a 72-inch with a diesel engine. And Craig's like, pulls that, he gets his look and goes, really? Oh, yeah, we're getting that. I've got that, all mine. And then he would high-five himself. If you guys ever saw that, whenever he made a command decision of upsizing, nobody else would high-five him, so he'd always high-five himself. We always got a good laugh. So hopefully you guys got a chance to experience that. But these are just a few examples I have. I've got a lot more. But Craig's LMD attitude had an influence on me, too. The most recent was up at my family's cabin up in Pennsylvania. We really enjoy going up there as a family, and Craig loved going up there as well. We have trails going through the woods, and there's an area that I needed to build a small bridge to get across this ravine to get our ATV across. I shared my plans with Craig. I planned on using 4 16-foot 4x4s as joists to support this bridge. And he's like, I would use 6x6 and get two additional ones if I were you. And I'm like, I told him, it's not like I'm driving my truck across this thing. It's like we're only walking across and driving my ATV. But he insisted this was way to go, to upsize it. So after thinking about it, I got the 6x6s. So Craig helped me build that bridge. We had to carry those 16-foot 6x6s about 200 yards down in this ravine. And those things were heavy, if any of you ever worked with lumber before. And as you all know, Craig's a strong guy. So as we're on number 2 of the 6 going down this hill, Craig goes, yeah, maybe we should have gone with the 4x4s. So we finished that bridge in one day, and that thing is rock solid. It will be there forever. I have a lot of ways to remember Craig, and I'm grateful of the time I had with him. Craig's LMD attitude was not just for material things. He loved life and had a big heart, and he shared that with everyone around him. Crossing that bridge will be just one of the many ways I remember Craig, and it will put a smile on my face every time I do. Craig, my best friend, I will miss you.
Next, we have Kevin McKernan, one of Craig's best friends from childhood.
Afternoon, everyone. As introduced, my name is Kevin McKernan, and I did grow up with Craig. But before I get started, I just want to take a moment and extend my deep condolences to the family. Christine, Linda, Michael, and Betty, I know you'd like to be here and you couldn't be here today, but my deepest condolences to you. I'm so sorry for your loss, and Craig will be deeply missed. I met Craig when we were in middle school, when his parents moved down to Arnold from Baltimore. And for anybody that knew Craig, he was a pretty quiet guy and tended to keep to himself. That is until he got to know you and trust you, and then it was like the mask came off. We became great friends almost instantly, and it was through Craig that I met another gentleman by the name of Kevin McGuire, who became part, and the three of us became a trio of really good friends, and it wasn't long before we became known as the Three Musketeers. And that was a term that was coined by the personnel director at Hex, where the three of us worked for a number of years together. And I remember her calling us in one day, and she said, she had this thick German accent. She says, "You may be the Three Musketeers out there, but here, no more. You're one musketeer. I put you in different departments." We just didn't get much done. We used to goof off quite a bit. But that term, that nickname, Three Musketeers, it did stick. It was quickly adopted by his mother and my sisters. Although one could argue that the Three Stooges at times was probably a more accurate moniker. You know, at that age, we were inseparable. We did everything together. And I can say three things about Craig from my experience. He was very loyal. Very loyal. He had a wicked great sense of humor. And he had this infectious smile. As a matter of fact, we used to call him Ponch, because he looked like Poncherello from Chips, especially when he smiled, right? You know, Craig was always there for me no matter what. And I can remember a time shortly after I enlisted in the service, I received one of those dreaded Dear John letters. And if you don't know what that is, that's the letter you get when your girlfriend's dumping you. And I got it from my high school sweetheart. And, of course, I was stationed all the way on the other side of the country in Alaska, and I was having a rough time dealing with it. And hanging around a bunch of macho guys in the military, didn't really have anybody I could talk to. I ended up calling Craig because I was seriously contemplating going AWOL. If you don't know what that means, it's not a good thing. Absent without leave. And where I was stationed, I was like five time zones behind Craig. And I called him. It was late. I mean, it must have been 9 or 10 o'clock his time. He sat on the phone with me for like 4 hours and just talked me off the ledge to do the right thing. And I will never forget that, especially knowing that at the time he was living in Arnold, he had a 2-hour drive in the morning to get to work in Tyson's Corner. I think he was working for Wang. Where's Linda? But he was the kind of guy that would do anything for you. He'd take your call, he'd drop what he's doing day or night, and he would give you the shirt off his back. The late Groucho Marx once described a best friend as, "When you're in jail, a friend will be trying to bail you out. A best friend will be in the cell next to you saying, 'Damn, that was fun.'" And Craig truly was a best friend. Craig once came over to my mother's house. We lived right down the street from one another. And my mom was going through a tough time. There was a divorce, and it was time to sell the house and get everything out. And we had a lot of junk to get rid of. And he came over. He just wanted to hang out. It was probably a Saturday. And I told him I couldn't, that I had to help my mom out with some things. And without me even asking, he just looked at me and he said, "Hey, what do you need? How can I help?" That's the kind of guy Craig was. Frank Howard Clark once said, "We're all generous, but with different things like time, money, talent, criticism." Craig was generous with his time and talents, always ready to lend a hand or an ear. As I mentioned earlier, he also had a great sense of humor, even when it came, or maybe I should say, especially when it came at his expense. He was sort of the Wile E. Coyote of the three of us, always angling for the upper hand and trying to get the better of a situation, and more often than not, it never worked out quite the way he intended. So, one time, he got this idea, and I'm sure somebody at work, you know, talked him into, "Hey, you should come out and we'll do this paintball game, you know, where you kind of play capture the flag and you shoot each other with paintballs." And he was like so excited about the idea, he just agreed to do it. Well, then he had to come back and put the sell job on Kevin and I. And it didn't take much, but he was super excited. And he figured, between my airborne ranger training and his planning and conniving and strategizing, we will make short work of these guys, and we will come out on top. He even went to the site like 2 days before to recon it, to get the lay of the land and figure out what was going to be the battle plan, the angle, all this stuff. And I'm like, "Craig, you're really overthinking this." But that's how Craig did everything. We just thought it was going to be one of those random pickup games. And, you know, he said, "Don't worry about it. There's no equipment needed. You just pay a fee and they give you, you know, the stuff that you need." So I'm thinking, okay, well, not a problem, right? But then when I got there and I saw what the opposing force was, and after we had spent about 15 or 20 minutes trash talking these guys before they pulled out their gear, I saw that they were a much better force, they were much better equipped, and this clearly wasn't their first rodeo. So they were a group of guys that did it regularly. I mean, they had the plastic body armor, they had guns with these monstrous CO2 cartridges so they could shoot the paintballs like twice as far, and they had a full auto feature. Meanwhile, they give us these measly little, like little handgun kind of things, pistols with these little tiny CO2 cartridges that you get about 5 shots out and they go dead. So, yeah. Anyway, it didn't take long, and I got to tell you, those, you ever been hit by one of those paintballs, especially on a cold morning when they're hard? Them suckers hurt. They sting. But despite the recon beforehand and all of our strategizing, I think it took them about 15 minutes to mop us up and smoke us. And that's pretty much what they did. And we had the egg all over our face. And I just looked at Craig and I said, "Dude, I think you got put together like a 2-piece puzzle on this one." So we licked our wounds that day, but we've laughed about it ever since. And it's just one of those great memories that I'll always have of Craig and my time hanging out with him. Someone once said, "A good friend knows all your best stories. A best friend has lived them with you." While Craig, Kevin, and I were best friends growing up, and our communication frequency did wane as the years went by with careers and marriages and kids and all the things. But with us, true friendship wasn't about being inseparable. It was being separated and not having anything change. And that's just the way it was for us as guys. Craig was authentic, and our friendship was deep, to the point where I felt I could be open, honest, and even vulnerable with him without fear of ridicule or being judged. That's not something guys typically do, especially teenaged and 20-something-year-old guys. But he had a way of bringing levity to a serious situation with his goofy facial expressions, with his quirky sound effects. He could make fun of you without you feeling like he was ridiculing you. Craig, I'm looking at you back there in the back row, buddy. I know you were convinced you weren't stubborn, that your way was just better. I want you to know you were funny and loyal. You will be missed. Thank you for being one of my best friends in this life and letting me play a part in your story. Friends never say goodbye, but rather until we meet again. Craig, until we meet again, my friend.
Now I'm going to invite Christine and the girls to come up.
Thank you to everyone who has joined us here today, both in person and virtually. Thank goodness for technology, because we're bursting at the seams here, which is lovely, and I'm grateful and thankful for everybody. Many people know that Craig and I met on a blind date on Valentine's Day. If you didn't know that, it was an exciting day. In some ways, I feel like that was last year, and sometimes it feels like a lifetime ago. It seems like just yesterday we were expecting the girls. And I've been wanting to go back there this week and start all over again. Some of my favorite memories with Craig involve vacations, fun times. When I met him, the first place he took me to, of course, was Disney. Favorite place on earth. We'd only been dating a couple of months when he planned a trip. But he also really loved the beach and the sand and the ocean and the warm air. He often talked about his memories of big family trips to Ocean City in the summer. He loved all those trips. I did get him out of his comfort zone, though, encouraged him to visit places like Tahiti and Mexico, Greece and Turkey. We found out we were pregnant with Melina when we went to Egypt. And we were in front of the pyramids and celebrating. He even planned a trip to Grand Cayman for my 50th birthday and our 20th wedding anniversary. But Disney was his favorite, and we actually had plans to visit the new Star Wars exhibit this year. And we will do that with him this year. What I appreciated most about Craig is what has already been stated so many times already, and that is that he had a really good sense of humor. It didn't matter what the situation was, he always laughed. And I wish I'd told him how much I appreciated that, but I'm the serious one in the family, and I usually said, stop acting like a toddler. This is serious. And although we had a bumpy start to his youth playing all the innocent pranks with Kevin and their other friends, he matured into the type of person you could always count on when you needed help. He was smart and so gifted with his hands, there wasn't much that he couldn't do. And he was lucky his dad taught him how to fix cars and run cable lines and fix the computers. And construct all sorts of projects. There were many, many projects that I assigned him over the years, and with a little resistance, he conquered all of them. And his mom, she made sure he had excellent manners, always holding the door for the ladies and helping, you know, the old folks in the parking lot at Walmart when they forgot where they parked their car. And he made sure the girls and all of their friends always knew how to give a proper and firm handshake. But mostly he was a good husband and a great father, and he would have done anything for his girls. He spoiled them and gave them almost everything they asked for. And he was definitely the fun parent, and sometimes he would just come to me and say, how did we get here? Like, who are they? And he was definitely the fun parent. Well, there are no words to describe him adequately. It will be hard to forget him because he did leave us with so many good memories.
And now I invite Marion Frost, Christine's stepfather, to come up and read a poem he wrote.
Don't go far away. I think it was less than 6 months ago that our family came together to mourn the loss of Craig's dad, Mino. And at that time, I gave Craig a message that had come to me. I thought it would comfort him and provide some perspective to life. I think Craig would be very pleased if I pass that message along to you today. It's a brief message, and it's titled, Who Am I? I am not my face, nor am I my hand. I am my spirit. That's who I am. Merely the visage, a reminder to man that God is within me, and that's who I am. So do not grieve my body, the figure of a man. Celebrate my spirit, because that's who I am. Thank you.
I want to thank you all who shared those words. I learned a lot about Craig during that time, and I appreciate your sharing and bringing us together in memories of Craig. Thank you.
Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I
was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be, as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. My chains are gone, have been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God, who called me here below, will be forever mine, will be forever
This week I was reflecting on how long I had known Craig. It was since Craig and Christine brought the girls to St. Andrews as we were worshiping at different places in the community, including the American Legion building. And Craig was involved, he was engaged. He came early. And as someone who was trying to cobble a church together, not having known anybody in the area, I so appreciated the fact that he would show up early. Christine said he considered it rude to be late. What a great life lesson. It actually can be rude to be late. And he was so, it was such an affirmation that he was there early. I will say he was friendly and cordial. I won't say that he
talked a lot. And so I thought, gosh, he was this silent, solid presence. And I thought, what made him tick? Because he'd always smile and say hello, and he'd smile before he left. And so I called Christine this week, and I said, I need to talk to you. I need to learn a little bit more. And our speakers earlier shared a lot of the things I was going to share, so I won't say all of that again. And I learned that Craig could fix anything, electronics to plumbing, that he was always willing to help a friend who needed it, that he loved muscle cars and that he took joy in simple things like changing the oil and fixing those cars up, even if those cars were not necessarily the high-end elite posh cars. Now, many of us think of Christine as a person with lovely and sophisticated taste. Craig's taste in cars, well, like many guys, may have been like, does it go fast? Is it fun to drive? And there's something about that difference in Craig and Christine, man and woman, different tastes, but they're driving together in the muscle car anyway, and man is grinning, driving with the woman that he loves. That's fun. And something I appreciate about the chemistry that Craig and Christine had. Craig would also do anything for his girls. Even if the initial answer would be no, I learned that sometimes it was no. Occasionally, mom would work on the situation a little bit, and sometimes it would be a yes. Craig loved Disney, positivity, and humor. Not sarcastic, sardonic, cutting humor, not put-down humor, physical fun humor, funny classics like The Munsters and The Apple Dumpling Gang and The Three Stooges. It occurred to me this week that sometimes what we like to laugh at says a lot about our soul. Sometimes we may not even be aware of the undercurrents in a certain kind of humor that draw us in. I thought, I wonder why Craig liked The Three Stooges. I thought I should learn a little bit more about them. I watched the same black and white reruns growing up. I found a blog, a writer on the website Tedium named Ernie Smith, and he shares his observations about the underlying brilliance of The Three Stooges. He writes, "My personal favorite Stooges film is An Ache in Every Stake, a magical 18-minute film that culls much of its humor from the failed attempts of the trio to get an ice box and, of course, the ice up a massive outdoor staircase. Maybe there weren't a ton of layers that made the Stooges great. Maybe it was simple. They had a polished chemistry. They had a close interaction. They were showing it off to the world. But they were also willing to speak for the everyman, the hoi polloi, as it were. The Stooges were often shown working factory jobs, manual labor, or as the waitstaff. I personally," he writes, "could not imagine them working on a laptop at a WeWork office. They were rarely, if ever, portrayed as rich, and in their films, they had a tendency to punch up, not down. Moe, Larry, and Curly would throw pies at a party full of annoying rich people in one film, but saved the orphanage in another. They fought with each other, but it didn't come at the expense of the less fortunate, unless that less fortunate person was Curly, of course." Well, here's the undercurrent in a form of comedy that Craig enjoyed. Simple, brilliant, and revealing a love of the simple life that was unencumbered by being pretentious. Enfleshed in the innocent good, laugh out loud fun of life. And that sounds like Craig. Our world needs people who excel at good fun. They're scarce to begin with, and so it's heartrending when they're suddenly gone. As I shared with Melina and Elena, I also lost my father unexpectedly when I was young, and I experienced the full gamut of emotions: grief, suppressing grief, running away from grief, anger, abandonment, questioning. I questioned, I complained, I cried. I doubted God time and time again because it hurts to love someone that we love so much abruptly and unexpectedly like that. In my case, I raged so passionately against the injustice of death, I questioned so passionately, I doubted so passionately, that I ended up here, an ordained minister of 26 years. You see, even when we're questioning, doubting, complaining to God because we lose people prematurely, when we dare to question that process, when we cry, complain, rage, doubt, and question, we're running toward God. Because those are holy endeavors. So if you're truly seeking the truth about life and death and the mystery about life and death, and you want to pursue them with authenticity, Pursue them with tenacity. Pursue them with perseverance. If you're angry, make it a holy anger. If you're doubtful, make it holy doubt. If you're crying, make it a holy cry. If you're wailing, make it a holy wail. Eventually, you run into the arms of the one who is greater than the questions, the one who is the end of all those pursuits, the one who is himself the answer, the one who is ultimate love, the one God revealed in Jesus Christ, the one who bears Craig's presence even now. In John 14, Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house," Jesus said, "there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. I will take you to myself so that where I am, there you may be also." The God that we meet in Christ is a God who suffers, who understands that we're troubled when life doesn't work the way that it is supposed to work. And nowhere does Jesus in the Gospels erase all the questions. If anything, he creates a lot more. But he does say, in the middle of it all, don't be troubled, trust God. Trust God. Jesus says, I've prepared a place for you. I have prepared a place for Craig. Jesus says, trust God. My sense is that Craig would very much appreciate our respect and celebration and the stories about the Three Musketeers. I think he might say thank you and nod, and I think he would want to allow everyone our tears and our mourning. I hope I'm right about that. And I think he would want us to slowly heal and be grateful for his life and celebrate it. My lesson from Craig's example is, over the long horizon of our lives, be positive. Change the oil in your car, because that's easy to do. Go to church. Get there early. Love your spouse and your kids very, very much. Be positive. Don't take things overly seriously. Enjoy and laugh at the funny things in life and celebrate. You know, a lot of us walk around with a lot of intensity, and that's not a bad thing. Isn't it wonderful to celebrate the life of someone who knew how to be lighthearted when life called for it? Thank God for Craig Miraculous. Say it with me. Thank God for Craig Miraculous. We thank you, God, for this wonderful example named Craig. We thank you that he is resting in eternal joy and happiness, where there possibly could be a couple Three Stooges reruns. We don't know. We pray that you will console those who are left behind today, that the tears will blend with the laughter, as it often does in grief, the memories, the joy, the sadness, the loss. Almighty God, make it a holy process that we might know that you are with us, that you are here. You are like those solid 2x6s or the beams that Craig and his friend dragged around, that you are that solid, that you will be here forever, that you are here with us now, that you will walk with us each step of the way. In the name of Christ, dear God, we pray. Amen.
We will not be passing an offering plate this afternoon, but a basket is available in the foyer for tithes and donations. You can also give online by going to our webpage at standrews.us and selecting one of the online giving methods available under the tithe menu. Thank you for supporting this wonderful ministry.
We're making a change to share our last song in worship together. I want to offer you, as pastor, a grief practice that I offered the family this week. Very often, I learned this from a different culture in East Asia, very often when someone passes away, there's a rhythm to the grief and moving on, the grief and moving on. And some of you may have lost someone else recently, and this perhaps could help you as well. But particularly say this for Craig's friends and family. find a little corner of your house, that you, not one that you walk by every 5 minutes, but a nice little secluded corner, and go there twice a day to say thank you. Put some things in a corner, like pictures or concert tickets, a poem, whatever reminds you of Craig, and go there twice a day. Go there to honor your loved one and to say thank you, to cry, and then the rest of the day, continue to live, because that loved one would want you to do that too. I offer that to you. Into your hands, O most merciful Savior, we commend your servant, Craig Harry Miraculous. Acknowledge, we humbly pray, a sheep of your own fold, a lamb of your own flock, a sinner of your own redeeming. Receive him into the arms of your mercy, into the blessed rest of everlasting peace, and into the glorious company of the saints in light. We remember with this last song of praise that joy comes in the morning. And as I was talking with Christine this week, she shared with me that Craig would want there to be an element of celebration in the service. So feel free to join us if you can catch the melody, and let's praise God and thank God for Craig's life.
Has no power over us, for we will trust in the Lord. And through the night we have a song to sing, the hope that we can cling to. Joy will come in the morning. Joy will in the morning. God is our rock and our salvation. Joy will come. Sister, fix your eyes upon the hills, for surely help will come.
And brother, we will take a refuge in the God who knows our suffering.
Joy will come in the morning. Joy will come in the morning. God is our rock and our salvation. Joy will morning. We will rise up. We will rise up in the morning. Joy will come in the morning. Joy will come in the morning. God is our rock and our salvation. Joy will come.
Friends, may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and give you peace, now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace.